The Burt Show.
This is really going to make some of you guys tune out immediately. A success story about people that don't see eye to eye, that actually listen to each other and rectify a situation and then move on.
That sounds glorious.
Wow.
That happens?
Where's the drama in that? All right. It really bums me out when we lose, obviously, any listeners at all. And it bums me out hardcore when we lose those of you that we consider P1s, or you consider yourself a P1. And if you're new around here, a P1, without getting into it, is the most hardcore Burt Show listener. We are the S, okay? We could rarely do anything wrong. We could say just about anything, and you're like, I know those guys. Yeah, that hurt, but still, dang, they make me laugh every morning, and we love what they do, so I am ride or die with them, right? So when we get those that aren't necessarily, what's the word I'm looking for? How am I trying to explain this? When we hurt somebody unintentionally to the core, then that really, really bums me out. And it happened a couple of weeks ago. And I don't want to really get into the subject matter because it's a little bit on the dicey side with this particular listener who's not really sharing to you guys why this was such a trigger for her. So I got to dance around this very, very carefully. All right. So let's not fill in too many details. But Abby came to the table a couple of weeks ago with a bit that she thought was going to be very funny. It was a practical joke and we got a laugh out of it, but it hit a certain amount of our listeners really in a very sensitive spot. Something very, very personal to them that they felt like we were joking about that shouldn't be joked about at all. We had one particular P1, like top tier P1, that there's a platinum card.
Yeah.
If there's a American Express black card of listeners, this was this listener. I mean, so much so that she moderates our Burt Show fan page on Instagram that has over 3,000 people in it.
It's on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Facebook, yeah. So after we did this particular segment, she posted on the Facebook page, Abby's segment also, capital letters, because a lot of people are kind of upset by it, rocked me to my core and affected me emotionally. So sorry to say, but I'm going to be shutting down this page. It was enough to make me stop listening to the Burt Show permanently. I wish you all the best. And then she tagged Cassie in it. Man, that one hurt. That really, really hurt. That's the most dedicated Burt Show listener we have, right?
And you never want anybody to feel that type of pain.
Never, 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 never. So Cassie and she had a couple of back and forths on Facebook. And then I asked Cassie for her email. And I sent her an email, which I didn't get a response back for. And I sent it again. And she ghosted me there also. But it'll end up okay here in a second. So the email, and I wanted to read this to you guys that I sent to her. I really feel this way about all of you guys. Hey, blank. I wanted to reach out to you personally as Cassie has told me how hurt you were by Abby's segment on The Burt Show. Totally understand why that segment would hurt you on such a deep level. You have been such a big supporter of our show. Maybe the biggest, I wrote in capital letters. I understand how deeply hurt you were by the segment, and I humbly ask you to reconsider the decision to disable The Burt Show's discussion page. I've received messages from so many really bummed they don't have that board anymore. Many want to start another, but I know you were genuinely invested in the show and would hate it to start with somebody not equally passionate about the show, and that would be really hard to find. Now, I'm omitting a paragraph here because it speaks about the personal issue that she was having, so I don't want to talk about it. Last paragraph. Thank you for hearing me out, and I'm sorry that a show that clearly has brought you so much joy over the years hurt you so badly that you'd want to abandon it. I hate that we were the reason that you were so hurt. And I really, really felt that.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of weeks go by. There is no fan page on Facebook. And then was it last week, Cassie, where it popped back up?
Yeah, I think it last week or 2 weeks ago.
All right. And she writes on Facebook after hearing us out, hey, everyone, I'd like to apologize to not only the Burt Show staff for temporarily archiving the fan group, but also to each one of you guys. I recently went through a very traumatic loss and took Abby's segment personally, which I shouldn't have. Because that's not how Abby meant it, of course, is what she says. This group isn't for me. It's all of us. And she capitalized that. You guys, without you all, this group would be nothing. And she's got a little heart right there. So please feel free to continue posting in here and bringing this group back to how it was. Exclamation point even, you guys. I'm going to be a lot more casual and maybe looking for a co-moderator for this group. I have such black cat energy. I need a golden retriever mod to balance it all out. She writes, LOL.
I love the self-awareness, babe.
But again, I apologize for my rash decision recently, especially to Burt Weiss and Cassie Young. Thank you for letting me open up to you and being just the absolute sweetest. I had a therapy session to continue to work through the traumatic experience I had and just want to be a better admin for you guys. I love you all. Heart again. And I will always love the Burt Show. One segment isn't going to make me stop listening. I'm too addicted to the Burt Show, she writes. LOL. New post. Now post and post and post and bring the fun back to this page. So it's back up.
That's awesome.
That was nice.
And very I'm
nice.
Like, I'm so, and I don't know if proud's the right word to use, but I think this is a shining testament of having civil dialogue and understanding the why behind people's actions and what the real motives may be to come to like a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
Intent versus impact is a thing, man.
Right,
you
man.
Know, and sometimes you have to remember that. And I love when people can say, you know what, maybe I took something personally and I know that wasn't your intent, and just be accountable for that. And, you know, realize that there is sorry on both sides and just come to the middle of understanding that each other, you're not trying to hurt each other. I think that's such a great thing. We should do that more.
It takes a big person to do that.
For sure.
And I mean, the whole, it was tough finding out on the air that I was the reason that the fan page got taken down. And I think that's the hard part of this job is it sometimes feels like even if you apologize and, you know, recognize that maybe you didn't do your best in a situation, even if the intent wasn't there, it sometimes feels like you can still get punished for that as well. So the fact that this all came to a somewhat happy ending, I think it shows a lot of hope for the industry that, you know, you have forgiveness for us and we can have forgiveness for you as well.
And I think too, it's a lesson that we can all learn, you know, instead of canceling or judging someone, and I understand the initial outright like emotional response based on one action, maybe look at the track record and the history and realize that people might make missteps or might just do things that you just don't agree with and see eye to eye with. And I think we can agree to disagree on a lot of instances, but this group is fantastic. There's a co-moderator who's another huge P1 now.
But are they a golden retriever?
Yes. Yes, they are. They are. And, you know, I think we're going to go ahead and post it to our Facebook fan page because I check it daily, this fan group. And the conversations there are just really supportive of each other and uplifting. And it feels like a community of friends, which is why I think so many people mourn the loss of the group, because it wasn't just like, let me join a group, I'm a fan of this person. It was a group where people talked to each other back and forth and were lovely and kind. And it really felt like there were friendships budding there. And for Facebook, that's rare.
Yeah.
That's a rare kind of group that she built. And I'm so glad she brought it back for everyone involved.
Yeah, and I want to say the same thing now that I've said for a while now. It's getting increasingly hard to do this job for you guys. It really is. We are living in a very different time, and we've tried to evolve the best we can without being really boring for you guys. And I'm not taking anything away from her hurt. She had very good reasons to be hurt. But I also think that we come with a resume. When you're listening that long, you know who we are. And if we do something like that, I'm so glad that she reached out to us and said, hey, this is the reason why I'm hurt. I've loved you guys all these years. At that time, it wasn't a temporary break. It was a permanent break. But at least she told us, you know, and we had a chance to rectify it. And with just a little communication, everything is back to normal and everything feels fine. But I just want to reiterate again, when you do a show like that, this, when you do any show where there are jokes, somebody in the listening audience is always going to take it personally. It's always funny until it affects you, right? But please know that we are never, never, never purposely trying to hurt anybody. And if we do, please reach out to us and let us explain our side, and maybe we can come to the same conclusion here.
We're not malicious. We're just stupid.
Save that. Yeah. That's our new slug line. Right. All right, it's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Mo and I are sitting here ready to make a deal. We want to negotiate with you guys over something here in just a second.
I've had the hardest time working with you today, Burt Weiss.
What do I got? White hair coming out of my nose. What are you going to tell me on the air that you should have told me off the air that you've been doing now for a decade? What's going on? Do I have an ear hair?
It's something you did last night in my dream.
Oh, okay.
And I'm talking in the almost 14 years that we've worked together.
Yeah.
I have never had this dream.
Did your back hurt this morning?
But
my man.
From carrying this show? Yeah. No, so last night I had the most bananas dream about you and me.
I did notice you walking a little differently this morning.
You're kind of glowing a little bit, actually.
Then it definitely wasn't sexual.
All right, what had happened was I have no idea why I had this dream. I don't know why this dream occurred, but not only did I have it, I remember it vividly. You proposed marriage to me at Popeye's Chicken.
Well, where else?
I don't see the problem.
Yeah.
We were at Popeye's. You literally got down on bended knee and you proposed to me. You proposed marriage and I said yes.
All right.
Now, the ring was... Now, mind you, the ring is the same ring I'm wearing now. So it's the ring my now husband, Bart, gave me. I was still married to Bart, but you proposed and I said yes. And it doesn't stop there, okay? You had there was a surprise photographer, not your girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Somebody else.
Well, that would be weird.
Right?
Yeah, right?
At Popeye's, and we did an engagement photo shoot at Popeye's. I'm not kidding you.
You popped the question next to some popcorn chicken. Yeah.
And there was never anything physical. We never kissed. We kind of like half embraced after the proposal. It was so weird. Then we're taking these pictures, and I'm like flashing my ring to the camera, and we're doing all this stuff. And then you and I leave, and we go to a pool party. And as we're walking into the pool party, newly engaged, you had surprised me with the Burt Show staff and Burt's Big Adventure staff, and they were all there to congratulate us on our engagement. A pool party.
Wild dream.
Wild. Mind you, I'm still married.
Right.
I don't.
In real life.
In my dream.
Oh, so you're double dipping.
But Bart was nowhere to be found.
Bart and Burt. Yeah. Wow, that's going to be confusing.
Like, in my head, I'm like, I am married. Like, why did I say yes to this proposal?
Well, I mean, look at all this.
It was so then we're at the party and everybody's coming up and we're at this pool party and people were like congratulating us and wanting to talk about it. And I said, I can't talk about it because I'm still married. And it was just, it made no sense. But yeah, we're engaged.
Okay, so if we were all dream analysts, right, and we were trying to make any kind of assumption.
Let's don't.
On why, what is going on in your life right now that you would have this dream?
I have no idea.
What would it be? I mean, it makes sense because we got Burt's Big Adventure next week, that it's top of mind for you for sure.
Absolutely.
So what else?
Was this dream after y'all had your dinner?
Yes.
So I think it's probably because you guys had that meeting and the Burt's Big Adventure staff conference we did a couple of weeks ago. I think it's just that you feel very on the same work page with Bart and that you're committed in the work arena, and then your dreams translated that into an engagement.
Which we really have been like noticing over the last year and a half, 2 years. Similar ideas. She'll same say time. Something that I was just about to say or vice versa. So we have sort of merge that way. Yep.
Or do you feel like your career is starting to get in the way of your marriage? Do you feel like your job, your boss, is starting to infiltrate some of the problems that you're having at home? And this is like a symbolic way of showing it at Popeye's Chicken?
Where does that come from?
I have no
the
idea.
Craziest part of the dream is that y'all went to a pool party after Popeye's.
That is diabolical.
That's crazy work.
Maybe you feel unfulfilled in life, and in order for your bucket to run over, you need Burt and some chicken.
Right. Solid. Very solid.
I think that's it, Mo.
The Burt Show.
It's time for a negotiation here, and I think if we handle this correctly and we come up with a solution, it will alleviate a lot of stress for couples that decide their quality time is going to be not talking to each other while you binge watch a TV show together.
But the talking comes afterwards when you can discuss the episode.
Well, does it though? Because somebody's falling asleep.
Most of the time.
So Mo and I started talking about this the other day, and I think a lot of you guys probably have the same frustration. You want to take it from here?
Sure. So this is probably one of, if not the biggest problem in my relationship. My lady and I definitely find shows that we have to watch together. Once she declares that this is one of the shows that you cannot watch without me, it is law, right?
So this is like, this is an us show, yep. Not a you show, not a me show, an us show.
And this is particularly important for couples like Mo and his lady, me and my lady, that don't live together and don't have that much time to really spend with each other. And you can't pick a whole bunch of different shows. You got one. And then you're going to go your way and I'm going to go my way. And then I can't watch it until we come back together.
1,000%. So after you have to sacrifice and wait all of this time to watch a show that you're really into and your lady finally comes over, what tends to happen is we might get through one episode. Sometimes we don't because she falls asleep. And when she falls asleep on a show that I have been waiting to watch, what should happen after that? Because we completely disagree on how that's supposed to play out.
Now, the difference between Mo's situation and my situation, there's some wiggle room here, but if you guys want to negotiate this deal, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, is sometimes, and sometimes this happens with me, I don't know when Amanda falls asleep. She's laying on my chest. She's watching Bloodline. I'm watching Bloodline. A lot of times I don't know when she dozes off, so I continue to watch it. There are other times, this woman jerks so much in her sleep. I mean, it's like she's playing kickball, right? So at those points, I know, okay, I got to make a decision here. Am I going to just tell her I didn't know that she was sleeping and continue to watch the show? Or am I just going to turn it off right now so we can both pick up at the same time?
So when my lady falls asleep, I typically, 9 times out of 10, have no idea. She falls asleep very quietly and very fast. So you wouldn't even know. So if
it pisses you off, then, huh?
It does. It makes me so jealous.
Damn it.
So if I'm really into this show, easily 45 minutes can go by, and I'll look at her to see if she enjoyed the last 45 minutes and realize that she has seen none of the last 45 minutes, which at that point, I am in trouble because I was supposed to stop. But why should I have to stop if you fell asleep? This was our appointment. We set this up for you and I to do. You fell asleep. Mm-hmm. So I feel now she should be responsible to watch that 45 minutes of that show that she missed on her own time. And then we are all caught up. I should not have to rewatch that 45 minutes with her because she fell asleep.
Agreed. Agreed. You agree with that?
I totally agree.
Okay.
I think the only thing you have to agree to is that we press the start button together, and anything that happens after that is on you. That is your responsibility.
Because it's not fair. If you fell asleep, I shouldn't have to watch 45 minutes of a show that I've already seen before because you're the one that fell asleep.
It's on you.
Do you love her?
Oh,
come on. Kristen, don't do this.
There are different levels.
Do you love her?
There are levels to it, but of course I do.
Mo, is it a little uncomfortable in this corner she's backed you into?
Not at all. Let's dance.
So you love her?
I do.
Love is sacrifice, baby.
Oh. Does she love me?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's to be seen.
that love thing only go one
kidding.
Way sometime,
no.
Huh?
Like I am team Mo on this. You should not have to re-watch the show again. She needs to watch it, but you shouldn't be able to move ahead until she has caught up that 45 minutes she's missed, but you shouldn't be forced to watch it again.
So what if it takes her like 3 weeks, though, to catch up with that 45 minutes? I got plenty of time.
Well, then let's set a statute of limitations on it. Like, how long do they have? 3 days? 72 hours? And if you're not caught up, deuces, you're left behind in the dust?
Well, I think 3 days is plenty.
Till the next time you see each other.
Yeah. Because it depends, right? Like, if you're still going to be with me for 3 more days,
yeah,
that should be done by the time we are, like, by the time I get back home from work the next day.
Yeah.
You should be caught up.
For those of you that live together, though, I do think that you have until the next time that you guys are routinely watching that show together to catch up on your 45 before we sit there for a fresh new episode together. That makes sense?
Yeah,
I think this is completely
fair.
Agree.
Andrea, what do you got? Good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
2.4 seconds. I'm the girl who falls asleep on the couch watching a show that I sat down with a full intention to watch with my partner. The rule in our house, he gets to finish the episode. That's on me. I totally have to take my own time to catch up so that he does not have to rewatch it. But bless him, he will rewatch it with me anyway.
Aww. Aww.
You know why? Okay. Because he loves her.
All right. You could have left that part out.
The Bert Show. Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Looks like Travis Kelce has changed his mind on something pretty important. Now, leading up to the Super Bowl, they're doing all those press conferences where they gotta talk to the press, they gotta talk about how they're feeling, and of course, if you're Travis Kelce or anybody else in the Chiefs or the Eagles, they're gonna ask about Taylor Swift. And at some point leading up to the Super Bowl, Travis Kelce was asked about what he sees in the future. Of course, people ask him about these future questions. Of course, everybody wants him to say, oh, I'm proposing to Taylor at the end, at halftime or whatever. But when he was asked about his future with the Chiefs, he said he totally sees a future with them, that he hopes that he's playing with the Chiefs for a long time to come. You know, he's 35, but he's still, you know, is I don't want to say he's at the top of his game because I'm not an expert on football, but they're still at the Super Bowl. Like, it's definitely not a career rock bottom.
Well, right. I mean, he's not at the top of his game anymore, and he certainly had something to do with them being at the Super Bowl, but not like he used to be. I mean, his talents are declining for sure. He's got this successful podcast. He's doing commercial after commercial. Why would you even want to stick around? You had concussion, CTE, and all that stuff. Man, I'd give it up.
I mean, when you said 35, that's like retiring age in the NFL, right? That's
yeah, 35 is, in football years, is pretty old. But I also feel like he is such in this place of having the spotlight right now, which so many NFL players will never have and struggle to ever get, that it's kind of like the strike while the iron is hot theory. I don't know why he would want to walk away at the height of getting as much attention as he's getting in his career.
But I think the thing that he's getting the least amount of attention for right now is his playing football.
Well, that's because he's not playing it very well.
Well, that's why he's 35, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
But Taylor Swift and the podcast, that's really where he's getting his juice from now.
That's true.
Yeah, and as an outsider, I don't know why you would want to stop playing after that big Super Bowl loss where they really got their butts kicked. I mean, is that the high you want to go out on, even though you have all this press surrounding you with other good things?
That's fair.
That's tough.
So, bad taste in your mouth.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And even though you've won all those rings beforehand.
It's always that one.
The last one is so disappointing.
Mm-hmm. So he actually gave a very similar answer to when Jason talked about this on the New Heights podcast last year, because Jason retired last year. And this is where he says his head is at following the Super Bowl in terms of if he is going to return to the Chiefs for another season.
I'm not making any crazy decisions, but right now the biggest thing is just being there for my teammates and being there for my coaches, understanding, you know, that there's a lot that goes into this thing. You know, I've been fortunate over the past 5-6 years. I've played more football than anybody.
Yeah.
And it's because the people that are in that building and the fact that we keep going to these AFC championships and these Super Bowls. And that means I'm playing an extra 3 games more than everybody else in the entire league. And that's a lot of wear and tear on your body. And it's a lot of time spent in the building, focusing on your craft, focusing on the task at hand, every challenge that you set up for yourself. And it's that process can be grueling. It can weigh on you. It can make you better, and it can drive you crazy at the same time. And right now, it's one of those things where it was kind of driving me crazy this year. And I think that it happens as you kind of tail off towards the back nine of your career, as SVP would say. Is, you know, it's as you see yourself or not feel yourself have the success that you once used to have. Man, it's a tough pill to swallow.
As a guy that loves sports, excuse me. And a guy that got into the industry to do sports, I think that this question should be off the table for any sportscaster or anybody covering a big match or a big game. When the game is over, it's an unfair question to say, is this your last game? You're too wrapped up with what happened. You're hurt. You're emotional. You can't think straight. You know, some of you is like really pissed that you just lost, and of course you want to come back, right? But there's the guy in the back, and it's the same answer every single time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take some time to think about it. Is the only answer to that question? It should never be asked. It's an unfair question.
I completely agree, and I didn't think about that. What he said, the point that he made, they have played a lot more football than all of the other teams in the NFL all of these years, and I'm as fortunate to do it, but I can see how it would take a toll on your body for sure. But I think he's coming back, but I completely agree that you shouldn't ask.
Yeah, I think he's going to see what the NFL comes to him and says, hey, here's the script for the next year. Tell us what you think about it. Make any revisions. We've got the refs set on it, and you can decide now or later.
Since we're talking about Travis Kelce, I'm going to bring Taylor Swift into the chat real quick, because I saw something that somebody posted, and I thought it needed to be said on the show. So Kelce Combs posted this in regards to Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, and I know you've probably seen these pop up, Abby. When Taylor Swift shows up to watch Travis Kelce play football, fans... When Taylor Swift shows up to watch Travis Kelce play, football fans all over groan and whine about having to see her on camera for all of 19 seconds per game. When Travis shows up at Taylor's concerts, Swifties cheer and ask him for selfies and trade friendship bracelets with him and get overjoyed. Huh. Wonder what the difference is.
Men and women? I can answer that one. I think it's infuriating that people that are mad at Taylor that she's on the screen so much during an NFL game. It's not like she's made a deal with the NFL and said, okay, I need to be on there 7 times. If you're going to be pissed at somebody, be pissed at the NFL.
100%.
The networks.
Quick question. Someone asked me this the other day. As a man, if you were to propose, right, if that was your plan, to propose to Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl, but at halftime you are losing the way you are losing, would you call an audible?
And propose during
propose anymore because of how bad your team is playing. If that was your plan going into the game,
I'm only proposing if we win.
You wouldn't propose after the loss?
No,
I wouldn't. Emotionally, I wouldn't be in. I couldn't.
I wouldn't do it either.
I couldn't.
I would have to call an audible.
Yeah, he didn't even go to the after party, so I don't really think he was in the mood to celebrate anything.
He also should have brought a backup outfit, because him walking to her suite after the game and the outfit he showed up in was giving, it was just very sad.
Yeah, 70s looking thing.
It looks like he's got a career in something else after the Chiefs, is all I'm going to say. All right, for more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
I am so excited to cut our bonus content after the show today, because I have a life-changing technique that, I mean, literally life-changing technique for your men. Earlier this morning, I found out that I am in the vast majority.
Minority,
I'm sorry. Of men that urinate and then dribble.
Neat.
Never had a dribbling problem. All the dudes associated with this show, 100% across the board, including listeners calling in, have a dribble problem.
One listener even coined a product called the pickle pouch.
That's right.
And I wasn't mad at it.
Right?
to prevent the dribble from getting on underwear and pants.
I had no idea that this was a problem with men, because it has never been a problem with me.
Must be nice.
So I drink a lot of water in the morning, a lot. I'm out of here all the time peeing. So I've been paying particularly close attention today on why I don't dribble, and I have figured it out.
You had a urination revelation?
I did, and I don't want to share it here because it's going to get I'm going to have to explain some techniques and explain parts of the human body that aren't mainstream radio. Mm-hmm. But in our bonus content, I can, and I am telling you, bro, I didn't know I did this, but I think I figured out why I don't and you do.
I can't wait to hear what this is. This has been an issue my whole life. You might change the world with this
one. I'm serious. I've already said, I came in here and I said, this technique should be named after me. I don't know what it's going to be called.
The Weiss maneuver.
Whatever it is.
You've been doing it all this time, didn't even know it.
Had no idea.
All right.
Cassie, in the meantime, what is our bonus content this week?
This week, hang on, you threw me there. Give me one second.
Yeah, I can't even remember what we did on the show, let alone what we cut for bonus last week.
You guys, we do so much content. I don't know if you know this or you listen to other morning shows, but the amount of content that we burn through every single day and we record and we do for bonus is ridiculous. There are some times we're in here and I'm not sure if we're on the air live or we're recording something. There's so much.
So this week, Bert, you're talking about whether or not you have ADHD.
Oh.
And then also, we're giving you a hack on how to find out who might be lurking on your Instagram account.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
So you can subscribe at thebertshow.com/bonusBS, or new, we just launched a subscriber channel on YouTube, so you can actually watch the bonus BS breaks. So just go to youtube.com/thebertshow.
How much does something like that cost?
$2.99.
Okay, not worth it.
A month.
Just kidding.
It will be today.
The ADHD one isn't really necessarily about my battle with ADHD. It's a test that you can take to see if you just don't have, like, you just can't concentrate or you really have ADHD. I think you guys will get a lot out of it. All right, so Sadie here, our intern, is wondering something about bachelors, because they all seem to have one thing in common when it comes to her.
Navy sheets, no headboard. What is it with the Navy sheets? Men love the Navy sheets, but I recently found out there's a female equivalent, and it's the Amazon floral pattern sheets.
Yeah.
And I have them, so I am an F girl, I found out.
I have no Navy. I don't think I've ever had
Navy sheets. I've never had Navy sheets in my life.
Congratulations. You are in the upper echelon of men. Not only do you not dribble after you pee, but you don't have Navy sheets.
I am top. Well, I am not a well drink. I am a top shelf drink.
But do you have a headboard?
I do have a headboard.
Oh, what a catch. Yes.
I have three headboards in the house.
Okay, Don Julio.
No, but when you were in your early 20s, did you have a headboard?
I didn't have a bed.
There you go.
I literally, my freshman year of college, was sleeping on the floor.
On the floor? What? Floor?
Yeah, it's a long story, but my parents hated me. And
you can stop there.
Yeah, that's a good, short story.
I didn't have a bed. I couldn't afford a bed, so I literally slept on a board with a sheet over me. I slept on the floor with a sheet over me.
That's sad.
And a pillow. Aww. I know. Damn. I know.
Well, this just got depressing. Yeah.
Anyways, to preface this, I don't think I've ever walked into a single man's home and like looked around and been like, this is nice. Like this is decorated with like really like good intention.
This is well appointed.
Yeah.
It's survival though at that age, isn't it?
Yeah, but Facebook Marketplace, I mean, people give stuff away for free all the time. You just have to want it.
In your early 20s, how many of you decorated your apartment with empty liquor or wine bottles?
Right here.
In my college dorm, I did it.
Yeah, sure. Me and the guys at San Diego State one summer all came together. And I remember Jerry pulling this all together saying, you guys, we have a goal for the summer. We want to line the entire apartment up with Schaefer bottles.
What's Schaefer?
Beer.
Oh.
Okay. So we all came together, and all summer long, we ended up lining the entire, the apartment.
From room to room, the inside,
with Schaefer bottles, Miller bottles. They all had to be beer bottles.
Oh, dude, your apartment smelled like stale beer.
It was the most San Diego State thing you'll ever hear.
See, if you were really cool at my school, you had the empty liquor bottles, but you filled them with water and soaked the inside of a highlighter in it, so they became blacklight reflective.
Oh. Okay, Emery. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a different level.
All right, so back to the bachelor pad.
Yeah, so I drop off my male friend at his apartment this past weekend, and to keep on trend with today, I had to pee. So I ask him if I can use the bathroom. I go up to the apartment complex. He goes in and like runs into the room. He's like, stay right here, stay right here. So I'm assuming he's doing that thing like where you go, you know, take all the clothes and shove them in the closet and slam the door and like throw the bed together. So it like appears like you're a clean human being.
A quick pickup.
Yeah. So I'm looking around and it's like to set the scene. It's very much mismatched furniture. There's a cutout for a kitchen table with like a light pendant over it. And there's just no kitchen table. Just an empty spot. So a true man's apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes out and he's like, all right, you can head to the bathroom. And I go in the room and there's clothes all over the floor. If there was a pop quiz on the color of the carpet, I couldn't tell you. Like genuinely, I'm kicking clothes out of the way. So I have no idea what he was doing while I was waiting. So I get to the bathroom, same thing, floor just covered. And I would have held it, but desperate times.
Now, this is just a friend. This isn't a guy that you're going out with.
Yeah, but okay. I've never been impressed by a man's apartment ever.
Yeah, well,
even people I'm going out with, really? I go in and I'm like, I'm not coming here ever again.
Nah, we're not into matching things. It's strictly survival on a very, very small budget.
I must be a very different man, because every time we had these talks, I am the complete opposite. But maybe it's the Virgo in me. I am very neat. I am very, I like for everything to match. Everything has a place. I've decorated my whole place. I've always been like that.
Is it a white dude thing?
I think a
young white guy thing?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think it's got to be an age thing. Because I will say, once you get to a certain age and men start inviting you up to their apartment, they want you up there for one reason, but they also want to be like, look at this condo I bought with this money. Look how I can provide for you. Because I will say, when I moved to Atlanta and I started going out with guys, everything is in order. Not only do they have a kitchen, but there's forks in the kitchen, and they're clean, and they're neatly let up, because at some point men do mature and they do realize that it is nice to have a beautifully appointed apartment, but right now you're in the trenches.
If you walk into an apartment that Abby is describing right now as a woman, that relationship is not going to work, because that guy's gay.
Funny you should bring that up. That's why.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so I go into the bathroom, and it's one of those toilet scenarios where, like, I'm hovering. I don't care. This is a man's
trying not to touch anything.
Yeah, I'm hovering, and I should have known better. I should have looked around first, and I start, like, I pee, and I look around, and I'm like, of course there's no toilet paper.
Ah, damn.
This would add up.
Mm-hmm. You had to dribble.
Yeah, so do I do the shake or do I use Jackson's cat litter situation?
You gotta do the Weiss maneuver.
Yeah.
You don't even know what that is yet.
Yeah,
we will find out.
You will find out.
So He ends up, I end up calling, like, do you have any paper towels? Please help. So I get something slid under the door, and it is the takeout utensil container. I brought it for reference. This.
So you can take the next.
Oh, the next.
This is what I was given. And for the listeners, it's about 4 inches long, which for some men would say is an average size napkin. But this is what I had to wipe with.
Oh, God bless you guys. Wow. In your 20s, man.
The Burt Show.
There have been times in my life where I question what my purpose is on this planet. And based on what we just recorded, I think I found out.
You actually have a solution to the dribble that I've never heard of this technique that you use in my entire life.
Is this how you really want to go viral?
Sure. I mean, if this is as big a problem with guys as these guys are saying it is, I might have just changed the world for better.
I still don't understand it. I'm going to need a diagram.
I don't know that I can write it out.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think I get it, but I'm still a little confused, too, as to the location of what you're saying we have to press.
All right. Well, maybe when Jackson comes back, he can describe it better than I can. And just remember, it's going to take you probably a couple of times based on who is it that always says it's the effing firsts. What motivational speaker that you love so much?
Mel Robbins.
Mel Robbins always says it's that, or is that Brene Brown, that says effing firsts. Every time you try something for the first time, it always is really, really bad. You have to try it a couple of times.
I'm sure this is what they were talking about.
It applies. Okay. So Jackson's on his way back in. We'll figure out if it worked or not.
Yep.
All right. So you're about to get like, we may get canceled for this.
We'll see.
All right, because...
Why are you so hell-bent on getting us canceled?
Mikey, this is 2 days in a row, Mikey.
What am I going to do?
All right, so this Beyonce Country album came out, and I know my son, who's kind of a good Southern boy now, and listens to country music all the time, was appalled that Beyonce won, that album won Country Album of the Year.
Listen, I got to start this off by saying I am the... And one of, if not the biggest hater when it comes to country music. I am, if it's not my way, it's the highway, baby. I'm hard to be around. I'm one of those people that say, like, you're probably fun to be around at parties. I'm not.
I feel like
if we're talking country music,
yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah. I feel like with most genres of music, there's also subsets of that genre. So when you say you're like, you love country music, what subset of country music do you like prefer?
I always have to be specific. I never tell someone I like country music because that's not true, because mm-hmm. they're going to get the wrong idea about me. I have several subsets, but my go-to is 60s and 70s outlaw country.
Okay.
So that's like Waylon Jennings.
Waylon, Willie, Johnny Cash, all those guys.
Yeah.
That, and then like the songwriters from that time, that's a specific one. But then that also does leave out today. There is a lot of good stuff happening that gets ignored a lot of the times. And so I just usually ignore that, though.
But like radio country or bro country, like Luke Bryan, for instance, not your thing.
Absolutely not.
Blake Shelton.
No.
Florida Georgia Line.
Absolutely not. But no, it's gotten worse. This is what's annoying me recently, is that there's these new guys that came up and people are like, oh, yeah, we finally gotten away from that bad pop country. And now we're in this new era. It is just as bad. It's some of the worst stuff that's ever hit the market.
Is this like the folky country that you're hearing now?
No, it's I don't want to name names. I've tried to be better about this because no one likes you if you hate their music. And it's like, why can't I just like my own thing? It's not made for me. But it's just like, it's these artists that are the big names now. It's just as bad, but somehow they're presenting this like, oh, no, I'm true country. I really do drive a truck through the dirt. It's like...
So you must have some real pushback when Beyonce came out with a country album, at least initially before you heard
it. So my circles, like my social media, it's all just the second that happened, it was hellfire. It's like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to country music. Here's my take. I am glad. I so much prefer for her to win it than one of these yahoos out here that are acting like, oh no, she's...
That's not giving her a lot of credit, though. That's just saying it's better than these crappy other guys, but it's still not good?
It's almost metaphorical, or some kind of word, ironic, one of those words, that it's like, she is not traditionally a country artist. She came on, she made a country album, which... I'm not going to break down the difference between country and not country. If it's good music, it's good music. If it sucks, it sucks. She seems like she's singing about stuff that she actually knows about, not...
So you don't feel like she was a poser in any of her songs?
No.
You feel like she was authentic
to her
song?
Listen, I skimmed the album. My whole point is not dead set on her album was the best album on the list. It was that I would much rather her win it than one of these guys that I hate. Okay. That's my whole thing.
That's not giving her a lot.
Point. That's not giving her a lot of credit.
Not at all.
Mikey's not going to name names, but I will. So I would like to give you the list of Yahoos that were nominated for the 2025 Grammys for Best Country Album.
I don't hate all these people.
I'll be
specific about each one of these people. How about that?
Okay, so I'm going to go down the list. Of course, Cowboy Carter by Beyonce won Best Country Album of the Year for the Grammys. But then also Post Malone was nominated for F1 Trillion. Okay.
I love Post Malone as a person. I don't listen to his music. Don't hate him. Love him.
All right. Kacey Musgraves, Deeper Well.
She's very good. She uses the Quavy sisters on one of her albums. Good person.
Chris Stapleton for Hire.
I always say I'm glad Chris Stapleton exists, but I don't play him in my car.
And Lainey Wilson with Whirlwind.
She seems cool. She seems like a good person. And a lot of people accuse me of this, but the accent seems fake. I'm sure it's not, but it's hard to listen to sometimes.
She was the one that was in Yellowstone, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Who is she?
Lainey Wilson.
Yeah.
And music rocks, man.
Her accent is not fake. She's the real
deal. No, I'm saying it's not fake, but it is just... It's
over the top.
Yeah.
So your strong take on Beyonce really isn't a strong take on Beyonce. It's more of a strong take on the crap you feel like is coming out in country.
But I'm glad she won. Okay. That way, one of these guys didn't get to take home a little horn.
Who are these guys?
I'll take it.
The worst.
I want to go back to the dribble.
Me too.
The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.